Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
McGill looks in, and the 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss! He struck him out! 101 at the top of the zone! McGill slams the door, and the Brewers take game one in this three-game series. 8-4 your final, and the Brewers sit alone atop the NL Central.
That was the call from Lane Grindle last night on WTMJ as the Brewers doubled up the Cubs after a very strange start to the game. Brewers were down 3-0 before their first at-bat after a kind of a wild first inning. Brewers also executed a trade yesterday. The deadline to make trades is Thursday afternoon. What a great time to check in with Brewers.com writer. It's Adam McKelvey. Hey, Adam.
Hey, what's happy trade deadline week.
Yeah, let's start with that, right? So the Brewers executed a deal during the course of yesterday's game. Not surprising that Matt Arnold would make a move with the Rays, the team that he came to the Brewers from, right? They've done a lot of deals together.
Exactly.
But how does it make the Brewers better?
Well, it's an example of how they are looking for every little margin to try to get better. And they've always done these kind of surprising trades. They're less likely to make the big obvious one, and more likely to make the deal around the margins that makes them a little better and doesn't mortgage the future, which, remember, is the key, because they've just been open that the strategy here is to not launch into long rebuilds and go all in, as people like to say at this time of year, but instead to be this consistently competitive team, and that means making smart trades around the edges. And in this one, they upgrade with Danny Jansen as a backup catcher in the best-case scenario, and in the worst-case scenario, as a guy who can play every day. Because remember, William Contreras is dealing with that finger. It's not getting any better. It's not going to get any better. And it was good to see him have a big, impactful game last night. But, you know, you can see him at long stretches really struggling with that. It's very painful. And Danny Jansen gives them a nice upgrade behind the plate. This is the guy who's been a regular catcher, and as a bonus, he is a cheesehead, or at least an adopted cheesehead.
Oh, okay. But not to be confused with Dan Jansen, as Greg just noted.
Very different guys. Danny Jansen, the catcher, maybe he can skate, because I think he was about 2 years old. We'll talk to him about the timeline today. But his family moved to the Appleton area, and his whole life, he has a brother who's older and was into baseball. And so, really, all growing up, it sounds like Danny Jansen had a Wisconsin Timber Rattler living in the house in the summer.
Oh.
And they would be a host family. So, you know, Adam Jones is a good, eventually went to the Baltimore Orioles and was a really good player in the big leagues. That's one of the guys who lived with the Jansens over the years. So, a lot of people do that in Appleton. They'll bring in kids for the summer as host, you know, as a host family. It's a great minor league tradition, and the Jansens did it throughout Danny's childhood.
I was just talking about that tradition, actually, because I just went to my first Lakeshore Chinooks game on Sunday, though granted they were called the Beer Bellies for that particular game, but we're talking about the host families because that's kind of special. Hey, I also wanted to ask, so now we've got new Brewers catcher Danny Jansen, but we have a couple days yet. Let me look at the calendar here. So Thursday is the deadline. What are you expecting from the Brewers in the next couple of days here? What could we see? What should we see? What do we want to see?
Well, I think what a lot of people want to see is a big third baseman. There's a third baseman for the Arizona Diamondbacks, Eugenio Suarez, who's having a great career year, was an all-star, is on the trade block. He got hit in the hand by a pitch yesterday, but x-rays were negative. So I think the D-backs are breathing a sigh of relief as they try to figure out what to do with that situation. But, you know, look, we talked about this last week, I think. Making a big trade like that, where you're parting with multiple premium prospects for a two-month rental, is really, really risky, because you don't know, you never know what's going to happen over the course of 2 months. It doesn't always work. It doesn't guarantee you anything. And the Brewers have not been that likely to make that kind of trade in recent years. I mean, not the obvious exception to that, and it's timely because it was just Hall of Fame weekend, was CC Sabathia, where they really kind of pushed all in because they felt it was the right time and ended this long postseason drought. Now, I don't know if you equate Suarez, his potential impact, with what CC did in 08, And I just don't know if the Brewers are willing to make that trade right now. I think it's probably more likely that they make some kind of trade for a hitter that you scratch your head, you look at the numbers, and you don't like them, and they don't look good, and you wonder, the guy doesn't have a clear positional fit, and then he comes in and has an impactful run with the Brewers. They've done that how many times over the last couple of years with players like Mark Canna, who came in and had a huge impact for the Brewers when it was kind of hard to figure out in the moments after they made that trade. The other one is the bullpen. You can always try to get better, give yourself depth in the bullpen. Now, those trades have not worked out great for the Brewers in recent years, but it doesn't mean that it can't this year, that they can't bring someone in who can make a difference. So I think the bullpen is one area where they will look to add a little bit of depth. And I do think they'll bring in another hitter. I just don't know if it's going to be the big hitter that probably a lot of the fans want to see.
Brewers.com writer Adam McKelvey joining us. It's the Brewers and Cubs tonight. So a lot of energy in the stadium last night, Adam. Not a surprise here, right? What a strange game, right? Everybody always eager to watch Miz pitch whenever he takes the mound. And then before the Brewers even had a bat in their hands, you were probably pounding your head against the steering wheel if you're listening to the game, right? It's a very strange start, but it seems like the manager, other players, came away very impressed with the young starter.
Well, Christian Yelich said it was his favorite Mizorowski start, which says something because of the six or seven starts, and plus the All-Star game, there's been an incredible amount of, I mean, Pat Murphy calls him Forrest Gump because it's been the most interesting couple of months in the big leagues of all time. But if it were a cold day yesterday, we all would have been able to see the steam coming out of Jacob Mizorowski's ears in the first inning. Everything that could go wrong did. Missed calls, that could have been strike threes that changed things. Comebacker smokes him in the shin. His own error after his knee buckles on a little dribbler in front of the mound. I mean, it was an absolute nightmare. And as Christian Yelich said, when stuff hits the fan, it's really easy for a young player to just kind of fold. And credit to Jacob Mizorowski for not folding. And he gets out of the inning with a 10-pitch at bat, by the way, a 10-pitch strikeout to end a 40-pitch first. And then he gives them three more innings, and along the way, the Brewers are able to fight their way back into a really big game. So it's one of those outings where if you're one of his teammates, he shows you a little bit of, you know, what he's about. And as a young player, that's what you want to do when you come up here, is sort of earn the trust of those teammates. And, you know, the raw stuff is so eye-popping, and everybody knows what he's capable of and what his future could hold. But it's when you show a little mettle like he did last night, I think those are the games that really endear you to your teammates, and that's why Christian Yelich said it was his favorite so far. So that's a really big one, and one that, you know, if he has the kind of career that the stuff says he could have, it, maybe you look back on that one as a little bit of a lesson, a little bit of where he learned, you know, I can pitch my way out of some really tough spots, and it doesn't always have to be at 101. I can pitch a little bit and have success.
Yeah, that was really cool reading your article when he was talking about this being, you know, his favorite start that he's had in the big leagues, and hearing Christian Yelich say all the cruising and the punchies and all that stuff is fun and exciting. You know what else was fun? Was the other night, that home run that had you saying sweet sassy molassy. Can you walk us through that and how excited you were to see that Christian Yelich homer?
Well, it was a weird one, and I asked him after the game. Well, fans didn't see it, first of all. He hit a homer that bounced off the top of the right field wall twice before going over, which I'm not sure. We see him bounce over the wall here and there. Don't know that I've ever seen one bounce kind of straight up and then back down and over. That takes some weird – a physics professor will have to explain to me how that's possible. But, you know, think of Christian Yelich, how many games he's played at Wrigley with the wind blowing in, and you crush a ball 500 feet, and it goes 250 feet and settles into the center fielder's glove. Or how many times in Miami where he played those years, you crush a ball, and because it's a giant cavernous outfield, it doesn't go. So here's one where the baseball gods kind of even things out. And it's a big homer for Christian Yelich because it was number 20, and, you know, hitters love 20 homer seasons. And he has not had one since 2019 when he hit 44 and finishes the runner-up for the MVP award after winning the year before. So just a big milestone number for Yelich, a big one in that, you know, he's back from the back surgery last year. He's trying to provide some pop to a team that really doesn't have much. I mean, looking at the trade deadline, that's what, you know, I'm sure Matt Arnold is looking at, ways to add power to this club. And it's a big deal for their star hitter, their highest paid player, their team leader, to provide a little bit of the power that is missing at some of the other spots in the lineup, and just shows what he can do as a healthy hitter.
Well, they need him, right? They need every bit of their stars to kind of step on the gas here, but it's pretty amazing what this team has done, Adam. Forget about that 0-4 start against the Yankees. Whatever. It just feels like it was two seasons ago. This team is riding high. It's like, hey, don't disrupt anything. You make a little trade here and there, but my goodness, things are working right now. It's fun to see it pay off last night, including against a high-quality team here in a comeback win.
Well, it's like Pat Murphy always says. You're reminded in this game constantly that you're never very far from the top and you're never very far from the bottom. And things change so quickly for good and bad. And what he is trying to impart on these players is to keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. Keep being those woodpeckers that he talks about, the annoying woodpecker outside his window at 4 o'clock in the morning. They've done a really good job of that, and they're winning with great pitching, better, really good defense, and just enough hitting. And they are a very irritating team to play, as, say, the Dodgers found out over the last couple of weeks.
Looking forward to a great stretch run here, and be on top of all things Brewers with Adam McAlvey at Brewers.com. Any sort of breaking news, trade deadline-related news, or fun stuff from the game, check out Adam's work at Brewers.com. Always appreciate it, Adam. Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
All right, guys. Stay cool.
Yep, enjoy the game tonight. It's 12:49 here on WTMJ.